This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Australia's only LGBTI program focused on the horror and sci-fi community.
Warning, warning, this is an official warning. The health service recommends you turn off your radio now. This program is not good for you. It will fry your brain.
It will cause lasting insanity.
Oh God!
Little are the systems. You have been warned.
Like razor blades in my eyes.
We want you.
Ugh.
Oh God.
My ears. We warned you. We warned you. Oh God, it's too late.
Yeah.
Oh God, someone poke my eardrums out now. I can't handle it any longer.
Thank you. And welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9. Yes, thanks to the guys from the Sound Museum. And that was the one and only Be My Baby. The very famous, the Ronettes, of course, 1964, presenting the fabulous Ronettes, featuring Veronica, of course, and the very famous Grammy Hall of Fame tune, but used and seen in, yes, a Martin Scorsese film. So welcome to the night of Scorsese tonight here on Sci-Fi and Squeam. The light of night here, looking at Scorsese, shining a bit of a light on the maestro, the man who, changed the landscape or the cinemascape of the movies coming from the land known as the US of A, the Great Americas, and certainly his influence is massive. Now, the exhibition to end all Scorsese, I should say, exhibitions, starts the 26th of May, a couple of days away here in Melbourne town at the ACMI, Australian Centre for the Moving Image. We'll be talking to Fiona Trigg as well this evening. She's the assistant curator at the ACMI, or ACME, and she's talking about what it's like to put together something as massive as Scorsese, because that's what it's called, just Scorsese. And that includes hundreds and thousands of pieces from his films, including obviously some of the films that will be played during the season as it runs up till September 18 here in Melbourne, Australia. If you're a Scorsese fan, let me know. Here on Sci-Fi and Squeam, we celebrate, we examine, and we just revel, I guess, in the music and the sounds of Scorsese, the trailers, the heroes, the villains, the anti-heroes or anti-heroes, the losers in the Scorsese verse, the machoism, the masculinity, the toxic masculinity of Scorsese, what that means to us, and for cinephiles, movie buffs, and just people who just like glorious, gory, maddening, violent films, as some people do. So a bit of a warning tonight's show. There is some language that may be of concern, so block your ears. It's the raw streets, or the mean streets, of places like New York, Chicago, and yes, Las Vegas and Los Angeles. That's right. As we take you from Taxi Driver, where it all started pretty much 40 years ago this year in 1976, with Bernard Herrmann, you can hear in the background, and to The Aviator, to Casino, my goodness, The King of Comedy, Cape Fear, and more here on Sci-Fi and Squeam tonight. Just check it out with us. If you have a favourite Scorsese film, let us know, 0427JOY949, or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. I'll also be speaking a bit later. We've got a nice chunky one, nice interview with three fabulous women who came into the studio earlier in the week. I've got Anya Beiersdorf, the director of something called Vampire, the producer Nicole Coventry, and the actress, the marvellous Marlo Kelly. So stay tuned with us here on Sci-Fi and Scream tonight on Joy. Yes, quite a lot is happening in Melbourne town. There's also a great new series that started up through ABC. It's called Clever Man, and it's certainly doing a lot of buzz online at the moment. And don't forget, too, if you want to find out about our podcasts, there's plenty to find out on joy.org.au, and our radiothon is coming up, too. So, goodness me, from June the 3rd, busy, busy times. So let me know what your favourite Scorsese film is, if you have one. Now is the time to spill it all. And I don't mean the guts on the floor, but let us know. What do you think? Did Cape Fear go too far? Or not far enough? Does Jodie Foster, as a young underage sex worker, what do you think of that? And there's many other notorious films from his past. But it's sort of led up to, a kind of almost a pastiche of his own films and a very much... one could say almost a nice, diluted and much more presentable type of Scorsese. Well, we'll see what the exhibition brings, and let's have a listen very shortly. We'll have a chat with Fiona Trigg here on Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
This is Michael and Peter Spierig.
And you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hi, my name is Madeline Olmec. I'm the director of the Foxy Merkins, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Sarah Lamberg. You might know me as a lesbian cannibal, or sometimes a delusional life-drawing model, or perhaps a neurotic people pleaser.
There.
I'm an actor and director, and this is Sci-Fi and Scream.
This is Matthew A. Brown, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on 94.9.
Hi, this is Erin Gray from Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
I mean, they hate me. Why do you think I split in the first place? There ain't nothing there.
Yeah, but you can't live like this. It's a hell. A girl should live at home.
Didn't you ever hear of women's lib?
What do you mean, women's lib? You're a young girl. You should be at home now. You should be dressed up. You should be going out with boys. You should be going to school. You know, that kind of stuff.
God, are you square?
Hey, I'm not square. You're the one that's square. You're full of shit, man. What are you talking about? You walk out with those fucking creeps and lowlifes and degenerates out on the street and you sell your little pussy for nothing, man? For some lowlife pimp? Stands in a hall. I'm square. You're the one that's square, man. I don't go screw and fuck with a bunch of killers and junkies the way you do. You call that being hip? What world are you from? He's still calling you names. He call you a little piece of chicken. Do I look like a narc?
Yeah.
I am a narc.
I don't know who's weirder, you or me.
Do that again.
Do 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 bom.
Oh God, loving in the blah blah blah. All right, a heaven in the heaven blah. I love loving in the blah blah blah. All right, a ringing jiggy hubba lubba. All out the mail jiggy lubba hubba. Bend down the truck like I wanna do. I love the zipping in the hubba lubba. All right, a ringing jiggy blah blah blah. I love the woody woody back up back up.
Did you overhear of a wish sandwich? What is the kind of a sandwich that she's supposed to take? Two pieces of bread and wish you had some meat.
Do 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 bom.
Oh God, loving in the blah blah blah. All right, a heaven in the zipper do. All out the mail jiggy lubba hubba. He ride a one a nipper record maker. All out the mail jiggy lubba hubba. He ride a hoodie with a slubba dubba. All out the mail jiggy lubba hubba. He ride a heaven in the hubba lubba. I love the something that a jigger want.
The other day I ate a ricochet biscuit. Well, it's the kind of a biscuit that's supposed to bounce off the wall back in your mouth. If it don't bounce back, you go hungry.
Do 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 bom.
Oh God, loving in the blubber lubber. I love the something that I love to do. He ride a truck like a lubber do. I love the something that I love to do. All hell the man took a lubber hubber. He ride a one a nipple lubber lubber. All hell the man took a lubber hubber. Being down a loving in the blubber do. He ride a zip in the hubber do.
The other day, I ate a cool water sandwich and a Sunday go to meat and bun.
Do 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 bom.
Cow cow, lovin' and a blubber lubber. All right, a ricky ticky hubba lubber. I love a wonderful zipper do. He ride a living in a hubba lubber. All right, a hubbin' and a wonderful. He ride a wonderful rugga rugga. All help him hell take a lubber hubber. Bring down a wonderful zipper do. He ride a hubbin' and a gundabo.
What you want for nothing? A rubber biscuit?
Do 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 bom.
Cow cow.
De Niro. In Bang the Drum Slowly, the critics called him a brilliant new talent. After Mean Streets, they said he was a genius. For his performance in The Godfather Part II, they gave him the Academy Award.
One minute. Just get me out of here, all right?
Now, Robert De Niro creates a terrifying portrait of life on the edge of madness.
Tabby, just forget about this. It's nothing.
Taxi Driver, a film by Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, people do anything in front of a taxi driver. I mean anything. Yeah. People too cheap to rent a hotel room.
driver, hurry up, will you?
People want to embarrass you. It's like you're not even there. It's like, you know, like a taxi driver doesn't even exist.
This city here is like an open sewer, you know? It's full of filth and scum.
I think I know what you mean, Travis. But it's not going to be easy.
You guys get to be a Secret Service man.
What?
Well, I was just curious because I thought maybe I'd make a good one.
You talking to me?
I don't know who's weirder, you or me.
Talking to me? Well, who the hell else are you talking to? Talking to me? Well, I'm the only one here.
I don't believe I've ever met anyone quite like you.
Oh, yeah?
You will never see a more chilling performance than this. Robert De Niro in Martin Scorsese's Taxi Driver. Jodie Foster, Albert Brooks, Harvey Keitel, Leonard Harris, Peter Boyle, Sybil Shepherd, Taxi Driver.
Hi, this is Bobcat Goldthwait, and here I am appearing. Well, I'm actually, you're listening to me here only on Sci-Fi and Scream, and that's on Joy 94.9.
Sonia for Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, and I'm talking to this evening to Fiona Trigg, Assistant Curator at ACME, or ACMI, the Australian Centre for the Movie and Image. We're talking about Scorsese. So Fiona, tell us a bit about yourself first.
Well, thanks Sonia. It's good to be on the show. I'm part of the curatorial team at ACME, so I work across a whole range of exhibitions that we put on. So last year I had the great privilege of working on the Bowie Show, and this year it's Scorsese for our big winter exhibition.
Yes, there is so much happening at ACMI. Yeah, the Bowie phenomenon, really, what it was.
Yeah, it was really amazing to see all those fans come out and really love it.
Yeah. How many times did you see it, do you think?
Oh, well, I spent months working on the show. So I had Bowie songs in my head for absolutely months, but that was really good.
Yeah. And with the passing of Bowie as well, for a lot of our listeners and fans, that was a big, it's been a very big deal. So close to the exhibition.
Yeah, it was really sad, but in a way, all the people who worked on it felt like we'd spent such a lot of time thinking about David Bowie and listening to his music and reading about his life. It was kind of, we got a chance to think about him and feel about him before he died. It was good rather than it kind of coming as out of the shock.
I think you're right. It was hard for me to believe it, but at the same time it felt, okay, well, I can move on a bit.
Yes.
All right. Excellent. Now we're talking about, of course, the Scorsese exhibition, the events. It's just called Scorsese, and I've probably said his name wrong. It might be my New Zealand way of looking at things. It's Scorsese, isn't it?
That's the Australian version of Scorsese.
Oh,
I think
okay.
he says it more a bit Scorsese. It's a bit more Italian, but we'll go with Scorsese.
Okay, all right. And of course, that's from the 26th of May to the 18th of September. How exciting is this for you and the team?
It's very exciting for us because at ACME, our whole being is around film and moving image, and so it's really fantastic to do an exhibition that focuses on such a strong and influential director.
And so, like, prolific. I mean, when you look at just some of the films that will be screening there and some of the events, you think to yourself, oh, that's right, he did that. Age of Innocence, that's right. He did Hugo, and on and on and on it goes. And
exactly.
There seems to be something for everyone in his palette of cinema.
Yeah, I think he's had a really fascinating career that spans about 50 years now. He's in his early 70s. And so he kind of broke through with the really tough New York street films like Mean Streets and Taxi Driver. And they're still some of his best known and recognised films. But as you said, he also made The Age of Innocence. He made some comedies, kind of anxious, nervous comedies, like The King of Comedy yes. and After Hours.
Yes, yes.
And also what a lot of people don't quite recognise is his huge amount of work in documentary. So he's made some really beautiful documentaries about the cinema and about musicians. He made a great film about Bob Dylan called yes. No Direction Home, a really interesting film about George Harrison living in the material world. He did a whole series on the blues that was on TV.
That was extraordinary. I mean, yeah. up there with the Burns brothers, the Ken Burns.
Exactly,
and, what they did with jazz, I think. What he did with his one was... Yeah.
And music is just really important to him. It's used really beautifully in his films. And he also did the Last Waltz, the concert
That's
film
right.
for the band.
With
so,
the
yeah,
band.
He's got this really great body of documentary work as well as his really well-known features.
Extraordinary yeah. person. And for you yourself as a curator, what sort of things do you feel... I guess the deciding factor of what makes this pretty special for you?
Well, the show, we didn't kind of create the show. It's a touring show that was originally put together in Germany, although it has been changed as it's moved from venue to venue. But the original curators from Berlin worked really closely with Scorsese and his studio and his kind of private collection in New York.
Cool. Yep.
So almost everything in the show comes from his house or his archives and a little bit of extra material from Robert De Niro's papers as well.
Okay.
And then the show moved to Paris and the Cinémathèque Française added a little bit of extra stuff from their collection.
Oh,
and so now it's at Melbourne, and we've also gone back to Scorsese's studio and requested some more materials, especially relating to his most recent work, but also just to fill out some of the sections. So it looks in detail across his whole career. And it's divided into nine different sections. So the first one looks at his family background, and his Sicilian American heritage is really important to Scorsese and it features in a lot of his films, and it kind of determines his themes and interests in his work. He grew up in a poor working class family. The Catholic Church and the local mafia and his extended family were like these three big institutions that had a huge impact on him, and you can still see the impact of those kind of groups on his work today. The exhibition kind of moves away from his personal life and looks more at his films. So it looks at the themes of men and women in his films, at kind of brothers or kind of masculine bonds. It looks at the figure of the lonely hero, so iconic figures like Travis Bickle in Taxi Driver and Jake LaMotta in Raging Bull. It also looks at his relationship with New York, where he's lived most of his life, and he's made a lot of films set there. It also looks at his cinephilia, or his love of cinema, which is evident through his big collection of props and costumes and posters from films that he loves. Also the way he references his vast knowledge of history in films that he makes. He drops in lots of quotes. And he's also done a huge amount of work for cinema culture in terms of raising money and awareness about the need to restore and preserve cinema classics. So he set up the Film Foundation, which has concentrated on American and European cinema, and also the World Film Foundation, which does incredible work looking after films from countries like Africa and Asia. So he's got this amazing kind of immersive life that's all about cinema and not much else. So he's making it, he's talking about it, he's looking after the cinema legacy.
Where does he get the energy from? Where on earth really does this man source it? It's obviously a very deep well of resources that he has there, the battery that keeps going and going. It's extraordinary.
He's very passionate. He also has a lot of long-term creative collaborations, people that he's worked with throughout his whole life, like people like the editor Thelma Schoonmaker, who's featured in the exhibition as well. And then the exhibition goes on and looks at his craft, so in terms of cinematography, editing and music.
Right. Yes, the music is fundamental, isn't it, to... A lot of what Scorsese gets across. I think, with the 40th anniversary, of course, of Taxi Driver, that's extraordinary in itself. The soundtrack to that is just sublime.
Yeah,
it's just an incredible mix, melding of sight and sound, and it's
that was
a phenomenal piece.
Composed by Bernard Herrmann, who had worked for Hitchcock.
Yes,
it was actually Herrmann's last score. He died shortly
after
the completion of it. And the film before Taxi Driver, or one of the films before that, Mean Streets, Scorsese had a big impact because he'd used lots of pop music on that soundtrack instead of having a composed theme. But for Taxi Driver, he felt that because Travis Bickle, the main character, didn't listen to music in his life and didn't love music, there was no sense using the kind of pop music that was around his world, like he'd done in Mean Streets. So he engaged Herman to compose that very evocative, moody jazz theme that's partly kind of beautiful and partly menacing.
Yeah, it's very Hitchcock.
Yeah,
when you think about it, it's quite like the scene in Psycho as well, when it's Janet, isn't it? Janet Leigh. She's in the car and thinking about what she's done and all those thoughts, and the music builds and builds and then fades, and that's very signature of that. And it's the same sort of thing. Cars are something, the American dream, you know, those feature a lot too in his work.
And right at the end of Taxi Driver, after Travis Bickle has gone on his kind of violent rampage and then kind of been drawn back into his previous life, and he's driving his taxi again, there's just a glimmer on the soundtrack of the screeching violins from Psycho, just to give you an inkling that perhaps, you know, all is not going to be well in Travis's future.
I think when people get to see the film, obviously screening at this exhibition, they'll be looking out for that now, listening in for that.
Yeah, it's a really great little moment.
Yeah, 40 years, it's incredible. I saw some great pictures they had. Don't know what festival it was, but they think they screened it in New York.
And was that the Tribeca Film Festival, which Robert De Niro established? So it's very much part of his world.
That's part of the whole world. I mean, you can't go past De Niro without thinking about Martin Scorsese. You just can't.
Exactly.
They're just like brother, younger brother, older brother, isn't
it? Well, they made 8 films together, and they were really groundbreaking films for both of them.
Can you name all 8?
Oh, I can try. There was Mean Streets.
Sorry.
It's okay. Mean Streets, Taxi Driver, New York, New York.
Yep. Oh, with Liza.
Yes.
Yep.
The King of Comedy.
Yes.
Which was really great. Edgy comedy with Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, really strange one, that one.
There was Goodfellas.
That's right, yeah.
There was Cape Fear, which was the remake of the 1962 noir film. And
good version too.
Casino also.
Casino, which I love. I love that.
It's a really great film.
Yeah, which hopefully is going to be showing too. I mean, I think you've got most of them in the program. What I can see.
We've got 2 strands to the film program that accompanies the show. So one is a selection of films introduced by David Stratton and selected by him.
Yeah, cool.
But then also the exhibitions open every Friday evening, and we'll also be screening one work from Scorsese every Friday night.
Nice.
So covering
Yeah, so that's Stratton on Scorsese.
Yeah.
Couldn't be perfect, could it?
Yeah.
More perfect, I should say.
Yeah. Every actor wants to work with him because he's able to elicit such powerful and intense performances, which is the way he works with actors, but just the way he puts his films together. You know, it's really remarkable to look at them closely and see the work he does with the editor, Thelma Schoonmaker, just to make every shot count, every cut count.
So they've worked together that whole time.
Oh, yeah, for a really long time. Not on every film, but most of his films, I think, since Raging Bull.
And just
the kind of intensity and the emotion of his films that he develops through the rhythmical way that he shoots and cuts them. There's no kind of slow pans or meaningless set-up shots, you know. They're just all very intense and very engaging.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It is. It's glamorising violence. He's so good at that, but I don't mean he's glamorising it. I mean, it does look beautiful when he does it.
Exactly.
Whether someone's getting their face, you know, cut or held or, you know, it's always... Looks beautiful.
And always sort of almost always justified by the story.
Yeah, almost. Okay, yeah.
Often very funny as well. So you're laughing and kind of hiding your eyes at the same time.
Excellent. Well, Fiona, look, this is going to be a great exhibition. And certainly when I found out about it, I just about fell off my chair because I thought, oh, my God, where do you start?
Yeah.
And for me, I always start with Taxi Driver. That's, you know, and... you just keep going. Not always a fan of some of his ones that aren't his own personal stuff, you know, interpretations.
Sure.
I like Departed and things like that. But You know, and I was surprised that DiCaprio never got an Oscar underneath with a Scorsese film. It had to be an Oscar that wasn't a Scorsese film.
Yeah,
but
well,
almost a Scorsese style of film. It's very
interesting. What can you do about the Oscars? You know, they get it wrong sometimes.
Well, maybe they got it right this time. I don't know. But look, amazing man. He's not very tall, but he's pretty. He dominates, doesn't he?
Short but powerful.
Very, very much so. Yeah. So Fiona, that goes till the 18th of September. So you'll be involved with it the whole time. When you curate, do you have to go back in there and make sure everything is...
Yeah, you stay involved with the show and we check in with the staff who work in the gallery and see how everything's going. And we also often give talks to, curatorial talks, you know.
Are you doing any yourself?
Yeah, we're doing a series of them. They'll all be on the website, the dates and times, and they're all free.
Right. Cool. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's always good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us here on Sci-Fi and Scream.
Thank you.
About one of our most interesting genre players and filmmakers, Martin Scorsese. It's just called Scorsese. I've seen them on the trams, the posters, and pink and black was perfect. Yeah. You could have gone for bloody red, but you know that would have been too obvious. Yeah. And it runs from the 26th of May to the 18th of September here in Melbourne Town. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And I'm thinking as I'm sitting here now, well, maybe this is my big break. This is my big chance. You know what I mean?
You don't just walk on to a network show without experience. Now, I know it's an old hackneyed expression, but it happens to be the truth. You've got to start at the bottom.
I know. That's where I am, at the bottom.
That's a perfect place to start.
So will you please give your warmest greetings to the newest king of comedy, Rupert Pupkin.
His name is Rupert Pupkin. He lives in a world of make-believe.
Oh, Jerry, I love this guy. Always coming up with these great lines. I love him.
Nobody can remember his name.
Mr. Pupkin.
Mr. Pupnik.
Mr. Puffer.
Rupert.
Pupkin, P-U-P-K-I-N.
But by 11:30 tonight, the whole world will know that Rupert Pupkin is the new king of comedy. Robert De Niro. Jerry Lewis. In a Martin Scorsese picture. The King of Comedy.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream. This is Sonia here on Joy 94.9. And we had a bit of Fiona Trigg, the assistant curator at ACMI, where the Scorsese is going to be. It starts Thursday. Now, there's just too many great films. Where do you start? I think start with Mean Streets, take a pool cue and a slouch hat, and kick back and keep on moving. Grab a yellow cab through New York and say hello to Jodie Foster and Sybil Shepherd and just keep moving till you get to Shutter Island, I don't know, whatever, and Dearly Departed, and then you end up Gangs of New York. Wherever it takes you, it usually means finding your way to Leonardo DiCaprio, perhaps in a plane, perhaps in a giant plane like The Aviator, while on the pilot side you have Cate Blanchett as Katharine Hepburn. Look, whatever it is, Scorsese has magically touched cinema throughout the world and certainly put a stamp on everything he does. It's American Italiano. You can't get grittier and more personal in a way. What do you think? Let me know, 0427JOY949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. But now, sometimes we have to go even darker and we talk about The Vampire. And I don't mean that little film by Taika Waititi, of course, What We Do in the Shadows, which we chatted about last week. That podcast is now up. Go to joy.org.au. But no, I'm talking about this. Have a listen. It's a bit of a chunk of a great little interview I had with Anya, Nicole and Marlowe. Find out more. Stay with us here on Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy.
Thank you.
This is Sonia here for Sci-Fi and Scream with Joy 94.9. And in the studio tonight, we're talking to three awesome people, part of a short film, and it's also celebrating St. Kilda Film Festival, which has started already, so it's pretty exciting. We have the director, the producer, and this, one of the stars of something called Vampire. I hope I said that right. Vampire.
You said that perfectly.
Vampire. And the reason I said Vampire, it's V-A-M-P-I-R. So we have Anya
Beiersdorf, just not exactly like the Band-Aid Company.
We were talking about the Band-Aid Company. Nicole, she's not in Coventry now. And Marlo Kelly.
Hello.
Hello. Marlo's the one that's the most together today.
I should have said the most beautiful.
True. Yeah, also
and
true.
Most beautiful.
Yeah. Also true.
Right. No. So what's Vampire?
It's Anya? A short film which we made together. We shot it a year ago with collaboration mm-hmm. between a bunch of Melbourne people and a bunch of Sydney people, got together and just, you know, decided it would be great to just do heaps of night shoots and get all spooky out in the fields. And we've come down to Melbourne all the way for the world premiere at the St. Kilda Film Festival, which we are just so excited about.
Yeah. No, it's a great festival. It opened on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And you were all there?
Yep. We testify yeah. to yeah. it being yeah. awesome. Great. And we were night. Definitely there.
What a location, though. St. Kilda Beach.
And on that beautiful, beautiful theatre. I mean, it's so gorgeous.
Yeah. Do they have the neon lights up?
They did. And it just felt like such an event. It was
very glam.
I've never been. It was really glam. And it just was, you
were on the carpet?
Oh, yeah. The carpet.
Yeah. We shoved our way in there. They gave us a mercy photo and then moved us along. But
who are you people? Out of the way.
We should have brought Marlo then, like,
she
you know.
She didn't take our names.
Yeah. No. She's just like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
I'm taking a picture now. Click. Not really. Yeah.
So you pushed in front of Cate Blanchett or
we
whoever.
We totally did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, actually, yeah,
you
similar
did.
To that. No.
What is Vampire about then? Without giving it away, I mean, a short film, it's really not fair to give it away because it's such a short period of, you know, obviously viewing time for people.
That's right.
How do you describe it?
When I describe it in terms of it's about a strange outsider is a man who looks very strange and very creepy, and we sort of see some images of him walking through fields at night looking generally creepy, and he comes across, he frightens a teenage supermarket chick played by beautifully by Marlo over here, and sort of sets off a chain of events which leads to a bit of a violent confrontation between some angry youth and himself. So yeah, and it's yeah, that's pretty much a good way to describe it, I think.
Really speaks to prejudice too, I think, in a way of, you know, we as the audience together, you know, we are being played in a way by Marlo's character, the young girl. So we see him as she does and as the community does as this kind of, you know, dangerous, you know, his code for something that's quite threatening. Mm. And, yeah, we can't speak too much about it. So I can't, probably have to stop at that point.
But it's basically looking at the outsider, you know, the person who's different and the outsider, and judging that person and, yeah, just kind of learning not, you know,
the way
maybe
we judge before we know.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And so the audience kind of goes on the same journey as Marlo's character does, in that, you know, we all make a really solid, certain decision about this guy, and then that's pretty unceremoniously dumped on its head by the end of the film. And I think as Marlo changes her mind, I think the audience does too, and it's quite a nice, yeah, it's an unexpected little flip in emotion, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting and mysterious. And I think it sort of echoes what's going on, I don't know about Sydney, but obviously in Melbourne. Yeah, it reminded me of what would you do to or with if you saw a homeless person being attacked. It's all got those echoes
definitely.
There. Yeah, and because we have a crisis, here's my point. But we have a crisis in Melbourne, and that's what I came away with feeling. How would you stand up to bullies, basically?
Mm. Yeah.
And well, what would you do?
That's at the heart of it, isn't it? You know? And it's sort of like, I do think it is the responsibility of every single person who sees something going on where someone strong is attacking someone weak. They have a responsibility to stand in and stand up for that person. And I think that's the humanness that we all have to live by as a minimum code. Mm. Yeah.
I think for me, it was really too, something that I really liked about the script was the idea of our ideas around masculinity and strength and how people use it or don't. I thought that was really, you know, the physicality as well. And you know, Anya using the genre, that kind of horror genre, working within ideas and tropes that we know. So we bring that kind of mythology to that space as well. So we're looking at that character. Mm. He's triggering all sorts of ideas in us as people when we see a kind of big guy covered in tats or whatever, looking a little bit weird and menacing. We've also got that background backstory of the horror genre, and it's kind of triggered visually through, you know, Anya's direction and the performance and the way it was staged and shot. So I think that that really brings us as an audience, it delivers us to that point where we kind of really are on that edge, which, you know, like you were saying, with homeless people, and, you know, there's so much violence and it's under the radar in a way because people, do they matter? Do they count? You know,
they're
people,
unprotected.
They're unprotected. And if people kind of look like that, well, do they deserve it? Or I don't know. It's...
Yeah, it's interesting because there's that violence in the film. That's really...
It is brutal.
Brutal. Not very pleasant at all. But at the same time, because of the... Yeah, because I'm a horror fan, of course, you get this feeling that suddenly it's going to be like payback or revenge or something like that. Yeah. You sort of hope for that. But I don't want to give too much more away.
No.
So people have a chance to see it.
I know.
Yeah.
And casting... I mean, obviously, we're lucky to have Marlo here.
So lucky.
How did you come across this project? Or what happened?
I came across the project because I was sent the script by my agent and I was immediately drawn to it. It was absolutely beautifully written. And to have really dynamic young characters, I think, can be quite a rare treat. So it was wonderful to be involved in something like that. And then, thankfully, I was cast and then we went through the process of finding our Piotr, which was so much fun because it was getting to improv with all these boys and
Marlo, you know, like murdered them all
at them and see how they'll respond, which is
how many did you go through, like, you know, before
there's
you
at least 10
one.
You
yeah, yeah. She destroyed each, she's like, because she's them. A very strong character Mira, and Marlo brings this great like strength to her. As soon as I met Marlo, I just went, yep, that's her instantly. And I was really worried about finding someone who would have the strength at that young age to be able to sort of snap down, you know, guys twice her age and a freaky vampire and everything. And then when she actually came in, she helped us do some castings for the other character, and those boys had a really hard time because, like, she was so strong. She just like, and I just said, just murder them when they come in, just like, not literally, but, you know, snap them.
I think the boys have that preconceived worry about hurting a girl's feelings.
Yeah, that's it.
And they don't want to be too mean.
Yeah.
And then I think kind of once they realise that they could.
They're up for a fight. I know. It was good.
It was really fun.
Yeah. But then when our guy Piotr walked in, he was the only, like, yeah, he really sort of held his ground with her.
Played by Ben Ingram.
Yeah, Ben Ingram. He's a great actor.
He's wonderful.
But yeah, he really brought a lot to the table. He's got this like huge hulking kind of physicality and this great sort of, I don't know, like, look about him. He's a very striking-looking guy and strong performer too. So
yeah, he's
we were
perfect.
Lucky.
Like, yeah. He's very,
It was a powder keg. It's like we smashed these two really strong characters together and, you know, an explosion kind of happens. So that's cool. The powder keg, yeah.
Yeah, he's a bit of a giant.
Like, he's a giant.
He's a total BFG, though.
Yeah, he is a BFG.
He's a BFG.
Big friendly giant.
Oh.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, no, cool. So finding him, what else has he been in, Ben?
He's actually, like... Like been in a
so
number of
too.
Really awesome short films. Like I didn't find out until after I actually cast him, but he's been in what was that
he's
famous
in
short
Blood
film?
Pulls a Gun.
Blood Pulls a Gun. Yeah, it's like a really famous
Odessa Young.
Yeah, that's right. It went to South by Southwest and amazing film.
Let's look that up.
And another one, I can't remember it off the top of my head, but I didn't actually find out till afterwards. And then I went, oh my God, he's actually like, you know, been in just about every good film that's been out in the last, you know, little while. And I went, cool. Awesome.
Yay. When you find out something like that, you go, yes.
Yeah, that's it.
But because I guess you're also looking to for the thing you're trying to do and capture in a very small
well,
sort of way.
Hard.
You want to get people who are...
It's so funny. It's so difficult because, you know, you kind of imagine these characters... And then to have them walk in front of you and actually be people, it's just amazing when you finally find them, because that's the most worry, I think, about being a director is that you're not going to find that person who can be that person, because that person doesn't exist. Like, you dreamed him up in the middle of the night.
Do you think you conjured up?
I conjured up Marlo, and I just have to, like, put it on record that I discovered Marlo Kelly.
Did you hear that, everyone?
Yeah, that's right. You heard it here first. That's right.
So, Anya, what else have you been doing? Like, is this, how many films have you done now? Short films? And
I call this one my second film.
Second?
Because there's a secret bastard child I don't talk about, which is a film called Bluebeard, which was made me and my partner, and I just shot it with a camera, and we snuck in on a medieval festival and dressed up medieval and got him to run around and pretend to be a knight. It was like really, it was awesome. It was great. But then, so I made another film after that, a proper film called Gaby part of my master's, which was great.
And that's going to be, is that part of the festival too?
Or? Yeah, that's also screening at St Kilda Film Festival. So I'm very lucky I've got two films in this year. So very beyond proud.
What's
of
that about?
Gaby is the story of a young boy who gets bullied a lot on his way to school, and he's sort of walking through all these crazy city landscapes, and everywhere he turns, all these young bullies kind of smash him up and call him a gaby. And it's sort of like he's really having trouble with this. And one day he goes home from school, and his dad kind of sees him and goes, oh, that's not so great, and sort of hatches a bit of a plan with his partner to exact a very unique, creative kind of revenge on said bullies, which I don't really mind spoiling, but maybe I shouldn't. But yeah, no, I'll say it involves.
It's pretty impressive.
It involves a 50-foot cardboard box dragon that breathes smoke and fire. So
cool.
Yeah, it's pretty random.
Don't try this at home.
Do not try this at home. It's one of the weirder things I've done in my life.
So that's,
keep doing weird things.
Yeah, well, thanks,
keep
I'll try.
Weird things. Yeah. Keep doing them, And Nicole, your involvement, so you guys worked together before?
We hadn't. So No Vampire was our first, it was my first short film.
We randomly met on the internet.
Randomly met on the internet. Just like a little.
Yeah, there you go.
But no, there was a lot of kind of synchronicity and sort of magical stuff that happened around it. It was just really, really nice. And it just all unfolded really beautifully, and there was just kind of, it just all worked. I mean, Anya and I just clicked. We kind of met and talked about where we wanted, you know, you want to be working with somebody who you're happy to kind of have that full adventure with, and she was looking for a partner in crime.
Yeah.
That was kind of the thing, but, you know, really the
Nicole
idea
was like, crime, get me there now.
Crime. Will there be blood?
Yes.
Well, Anya wrote this beautiful script that when I read it and looked at the treatment, and it was had such a beautiful heart to it. And, you know, as the script unfolds, and we can't talk about that, but, you know, the revelation, the way it ends is so satisfying to me. It's really wonderful. I've worked in film and television. It's been my whole job for like a long time, 20 years. Coming to short films now as like an old woman.
Which feels kind of Where's your granny chair? Gosh.
That feels kind of film. Funny.
Yeah, there you go.
The oldest short filmmaker on the planet.
I think there might be a couple of
I'm
sure. I think you're okay.
I'm being dramatic, but no, it was such a lovely project, because Anya had so much already involved in, and already in place, and my goal was to make something I was proud of, you know, to have my credit on something that I felt really, really good about. And we've got, you know, a few things cooking, so it's not the end.
More crime.
Oh no, more crimes. More beautiful.
Yeah.
More beauty. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Kent, writer and director of The Babadook, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Hang on, I'm going to do that again. Okay?
Okay, cool.
All right. Hi, I'm Jennifer Kent, writer and director of The Babadook, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Marlo, what was the highlight for you?
I actually, as much as I'm sure it wasn't to these guys, personally my highlight was when it was like 2 a.m. and everybody had gone a bit wacky, so all emotions were high, which I feel like from an actor's perspective is kind of amazing, because you're running on this really fierce adrenaline, which I loved, and like that's my main memory. Yeah, that's probably my favourite bit. But I'm sure these guys, that was just absolutely gruelling and exhausting.
We were in the corner crying at that point, yeah.
Being heckled by pig shooters driving by.
Oh, my God, it was wild.
Yeah, well, we were kind of shooting a bit out of Sydney.
We were in the wild, wild outer west.
The wilds.
We had those drunk boys turn up.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Oh. They had a sex doll tied to
their ute. It was really weird.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, so what happens to it after the St Kilda Fest? Where
good
are you going
question.
To
with it
next?
We've got it. Or? Not that we've heard back from yet. Mm. So we're just starting our festival tour now, and then so hopefully, like the next step will be, you know, some festivals overseas, and you know, hopefully some glam ones that we can, you know,
jet off to.
Yeah. Based on Vampire, we were shortlisted for the Sydney Film Festival Lexus Fellowship, which is the largest short film prize in Australia at the moment. So. That said, I'm like, we're shortlisted with 20 other, like, these guys. Oh. When I saw the list, I was like, oh, okay, right. They're incredible. Like, every incredible short filmmaker ever is on that list. So,
and you're on that list.
And Anya is on the list.
That's awesome.
I know. It's awesome.
I'm, like, sneaking onto the bottom of that list.
No. It's
like,
you should just press the silent button.
Yeah, so. That's it. We're pretty determined we're going to make that film because it's an incredible story called How the Light Gets In. So we're really excited about making that too sometime in the next year.
Yeah.
That's our plan.
Yeah. Cool. Mm. Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us tonight.
Thank you very much.
Good luck with Vampire, wherever it goes. I hope it takes you somewhere brilliant with us. Red carpet and, you know,
Champers and interesting people like you to talk
and
to.
Good schmoozing.
And yeah. Crime.
Lots crime. Of crime, yeah.
Make sure you film the crime, though.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it.
Horror. You know? And we'll bring it back here.
Yeah.
And maybe then do a film about the inside of a woman's prison. Oh, has that been done?
Exactly. No,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's been done. Bugger. But we could do it in a different way.
Yeah.
What about a vampire inside a woman's prison?
That's a good idea.
The woman trying to get out, not to get out, but to get away
just
from
get
the vampire.
Away.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Best and favourite horror or sci-fi movie? Anya.
Oh, I can't go past Solaris. You know, Tarkovsky from way back.
I was talking about Solaris in the studio with an actress who was sitting right there, Rachel Perks.
Oh, okay.
Do you know her?
Not personally, but I've heard of her. Yeah, definitely.
She just finished doing something at Next Wave and sold out every single...
Oh, I love Next Wave
Festival.
Every
single performance. I was going to say episode. Sorry.
Every episode. That's amazing.
It was a feminist sci-fi one-woman show.
God bless her. What a legend.
Going out into space to colonise space after the world is, you know, pretty fucked. But
this is why we need to live in Melbourne, people. That's all I'm saying to you. Like, amazing.
It's called Ground Control.
I will check it out.
Ground Control. Obviously, when you Google it, David Bowie's going to come up right and centre. That's fair enough.
Go past that and then
fine. Of course, she's a Bowie fan. But we talked about Solaris for about 15 minutes.
Solaris is incredible, yeah.
The
it's hard to go past that. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Moody.
Did my head in.
Yeah, me too. It's compelling.
And then I just thought, what did I just watch?
Yeah, and then you're still thinking,
life
what the hell
pointless.
Did I watch? Yeah.
And did you go away thinking, what is the point?
Yeah, very much.
Really
I got
really
I do
really
I do get a bit wrapped up in film sometimes and yeah, I do kind of my brain ends up swirling around that world for quite a few days and you know, people are trying to talk to me. I'm like, "Sorry, Solaris." No. But yeah, no, it's intense. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I've been raving.
Thank you so much.
Ramble. Good luck.
A good ramble's a good one.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Anya, Nicole and Marlo, for coming in and speaking to us about Vampire and other things.
Thank you, Sonia.
Thank you
very much. Joy. Yes, one to watch indeed. That was a marvellous chat I had with those three wonderful women, Anya Beiersdorf, Nicole Coventry and Marlo Kelly, the star of Vampire, a little movie that's going to be doing great things. It's going to be at the Sydney Film Fest too, and it appeared at St Kilda Film Fest, which was fabulous. And who knows, Anya might even move here. What do you think, Anya? Move to Melbourne.
Come on, up the IQ, as they say. No, good on them. And we wish them all the best in future projects and things. It's great to see women making these kind of interesting little, darling little genre films and things. It's very exciting and keeping it local. So we wish them the best of luck. And thank you again to Fiona Trigg and Acme for a chat there too about the fabulous Scorsese that's coming. And it's going to include a lot of the bunch of the awesome movies, of course. And up next, we'll have Colin with Behind the Curtain. But before we go, just a big shout out and thank you to everyone for tuning in tonight. And also next week, we're going to go down the creek, or up the creek, up the river. Yes, we're going to look at that TV show that's on the line, online, out there in the universe, on the cyberverse, and that is Wolf Creek. Can Australia pull off horror genre for the television generation, for the HBO set, for the Netflix family? I don't know. It's not on Netflix. But anyway, we'll chat about that next week. Hopefully Clayton Wimshurst shall appear as an apparition or more. So tune in with us next week. We'll be chatting more about some Scorsese stuff and sci-fi, horror, anything you like, cult films, whatever it takes. Keep in touch with us and check out our podcasts on joy.org.au and have a fabulous spooky evening. Thanks again. This is Joy 94.9 and Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy.
God for the rain, which has helped wash away the garbage and the trash off the sidewalks. I'm working long hours now, 6 in the afternoon to 6 in the morning, sometimes even 8 in the morning, 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week. It's a long hustle, but it keeps me real busy. I can take in 350 a week, sometimes even more when I do it off the meter. Come out at night. Whores, skunk pussies, buggers, queens, fairies, dopers, junkies. Sick, venal. Someday a real rain will come and wash all the scum off the streets. I go all over. I take people to the Bronx, Brooklyn. I take them to Harlem. I don't care. Don't make no difference to me. It does to some. Some won't even take spooks. Don't make no difference to me.
Howard, why the future? Why the future?
Just take a walk, Howard.
Way the future.
No, give me a hand here, will you, Glenn?
The way the future. 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 The way the future.
Guard the door. I'll get a doctor. No one sees him like this.
The way the future. The way the future. The way the future. The way the future. The way of 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 the future.
May 10th. Thank God for the rain, which has helped wash away the garbage and the trash off the sidewalks. I'm working long hours now, 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week. It's a long hustle, but it keeps me real busy. I can take in $350 a week, sometimes even more when I do it off the meter. All the animals come out at night. Buggers, queens, fairies, dopers, junkies, sick, venal. Someday a real rain will come and wash all this scum off the streets. I go all over. I take people to the Bronx, Brooklyn. I take them to Harlem. I don't care. Don't make no difference to me. It does to some. Some won't even take spooks. Don't make no difference to me. Each night when I return the cab to the garage, I have to clean the back seat. Some nights I clean off the blood. 12 hours of work and I still can't sleep. Damn. Days go on and on. They don't end. All my life needed was a sense of some place to go. I don't believe that one should devote his life to morbid self-attention. I believe that someone should become a person like other people, 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 people.
You've been listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Check out joy.org.au/sci-fi and scream for more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.